We thank you for this time. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for your blessings. Lord, as we continue our study from the book of Haggai, chapter 2, Lord, be with us, teach us, bless us. We ask all of these things in Jesus Christ's precious name. Amen. So what we are doing today is continuing from the book of Haggai. We finished chapter 1, and we are going into chapter 2. Looking at chapter 1, we saw that God was concerned about the priorities of the people that returned from Babylon. And God was concerned about the excuses that people were making after their return from Babylon as concerned to the building of the temple of God. You see, God wanted the people and let the people come back from Babylon because Cyrus, the king, promised to let them go for the reason so that they can build the temple of God. And then we see that the people have come back to Judah and they spend time to build the temple. And so in chapter 1, we saw that they started the building of the temple of God. And in 2 years, they finished the foundation of the temple of God. And then they left it just as it was. And now the time has come in the year 520 BC. In the year 520 BC, God spoke to Haggai. And we see that in the 1st of September, 520 BC, God spoke to Haggai, and we finished that in chapter 1. But we see that in the 7th month, which is almost 7th month, which is the Hebrew month, which is October, October 21st, 520 BC, we find that the Lord is speaking to Haggai again. And speaking of that, let me go through that verse. The first verse, in the 7th month, in the 1 and 20th day of the month, came the word of the Lord by the prophet Haggai, saying, Speak now to Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and to Joshua, the son of Jehozadak, the high priest, and to the residue of the people, saying. So God is talking to Haggai, and in turn, Haggai is speaking to the people. And what are they saying? The saying is that God is asking what has happened to the old temple, the first temple, the temple of built by Solomon. And he's saying in verse number 3, he who is left among you that saw this house in her first glory. You see, this is the beginning of the second temple. And what they did was in 536, they started the building of the temple of God. And it shows that they built the foundation. And then they left it just like this. And in the completion of 534 BC, they did complete the foundation. But God is saying, what has happened to them? What is their priorities? What are the excuses that God is talking about these people? And so God is asking in verse number 3, chapter 2, verse 3, who is left among you that saw this house in the first glory? So what is the first temple? God is asking, what is the glory of this first temple? This picture here shows the temple of Solomon, the first temple. And God is saying, what has happened as compared to the first temple, and the comparison to the second temple? the second temple was only built up to the foundation, and the people did not leave alone. 534 BC, they left the completion of the temple of God, except up to the foundation. And God is saying, what happened? What happened? Who is left among you that saw this house in the first glory? So God is asking, have you seen the first temple of God? This Solomon's temple of the temple of God. And so God is saying, but what happened? And he is saying, what is the comparison between the first temple of God, the Solomon temple, and the building of the temple of the second temple? And all they did was the foundation of the temple of the second temple. And so God is saying, is it not in your eyes in the comparison of it as nothing? So God is saying, what is the second temple of God? What has happened to the temple of God? And God is saying, all has happened, all that has happened so far is the temple of God, which is the foundation and nothing more. And so God is saying that the second temple is nothing compared to the first temple. So let me just show you, this is the first temple, the beauty of what Solomon had done, the magnificent temple. And so God is saying the comparison of the first temple to the second is nothing. God is saying what has happened now is the second temple is nothing compared to the first temple. But let's now look at that as to what has happened. So what we find, let me just get that. And then in verse number 4, it says, yet now be strong, O Zerubbabel, said the Lord. So God is telling the people, be strong. God is telling them, be strong, be strong, be strong. What is he saying? He's saying that don't be depressed. Don't be anxious over the things of the building of the temple of the second temple of God. Be strong, be courageous. Let us be together and let us build this temple. Although the second temple is nothing compared to the first temple. And that is nothing compared to the first temple, but be strong. And that's what God is saying. God is saying, be strong to the Zerubbabel and to Josedek, the son, Joshua, Josedek, the son of Josedek, the high priest. And he's telling them, be strong to the people. Just like God is telling in the ministries that we are involved in, to be strong, do not worry, do not be discouraged, but God is with us. Look at the verse, end of verse number 4. It says, for I am with you, said the Lord of hosts. So God is saying, don't worry. Just go about doing the things that you have to do and keep building the second temple. Although the second temple is nothing compared to the first temple, but I am with you. And then he goes on to say that, you know, just like your fathers, I brought them out from Egypt, and I made sure that the people, the Israelites, were set out from Egypt, and God took care of them. And we see that God took care of the of their fathers, which is those that were those that were in bondage all of this time, but God took care of them and took good care of them. And God said in verse number 6, "For thus saith the Lord of hosts, yet once it is still a little while, and I will shake the heavens and the earth and the sea and the dry land." God will do anything to make sure that you will be fine, that I will be with you. And just like I brought your people, your fathers, out from the land of Egypt, and I took care of them, so also I will take care of of you as you do the things of the Lord. And then he says in verse number 7, "And I will shake all nations, and the desire of all nations shall come, and I will fill this house with glory, said the Lord of hosts." So this is verse number 7. God is saying, I will take care of you. Don't worry. Don't be dejected. Don't be depressed from what is going on. Although the second temple is nothing compared to the first temple, but I will take care of it. And that's what he's saying. And then he's saying that the desire of the nations shall come. What is he meaning by that, the desire of the nations? What he's saying is that Jesus himself is the desire of the nations. He is the darling of heaven. He is the one that Jesus, that God is saying that he is the desire of the nations, and that is Jesus Christ. And so he says, I will shake all heavens, and the desire of all nations shall come, and I will fill this house with glory, said the Lord of hosts. When we look at this, God is talking to us, he's telling the Israelites, don't worry about what's going on in your construction of this temple of the Lord, but what is going to happen is God is going to take care of it, because there is going to be a desire in the desire of all nations. And that desire of all nations is Jesus Christ. And then we see in verse number 8, the glory of this latter house, said the greater, shall be greater than the former, said the Lord of hosts. And in this place shall I give peace, said the Lord of hosts. Let me read that verse again. In verse number 9, it says, the glory of this latter house shall be greater than the former. What God is saying, that the house that you are building today, although this house is nothing compared to the first temple of God, which is Solomon's temple, God is saying, this is nothing compared, and that the glory of this latter house, which is the second temple, is going to be greater than the former. How could that be? Because when when God was speaking to them, God said, the second temple is nothing compared to the first temple. But at the same time, we find that God is telling that the glory of the second temple is going to be greater than the glory of the first temple. So he's encouraging them, don't worry, just keep on building, bring the timber and the wood and everything from above in the mountains, and let's continue building. But what is going to happen, God says, is this latter temple, which is the second temple, let me show this one here that they are attempting to build, this structure is going to be even more famous and glorious than what it was, the first temple. Now, when we look at it, how can that be? How can this glorious temple that we have, Solomon's temple, be greater than that they are trying to build right now? And we see that we just can't understand. God is saying, I'll make this greater. The second temple is greater than the first temple. How is that going to be? We will see that what God is going to say and teach us is that the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the desire of nations, is going to come and worship. He's going to come, and the glory of God, the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ, will come into the second temple, and that will enhance the glory of the second temple. Although that second temple is not of any significance at this time in 520 BC, let it alone another 500 years after, Jesus will be coming into this temple. And that is how the glory of the latter house will be greater than the former or Solomon's temple. Now we see that God has all the resources for the people. Imagine, these are the people that came from Babylon after 70 years that was in bondage over there. And when they came back, they had hardships to do all of this. But God is encouraging them to go ahead and do the best they can to build the temple of God. And that's what we see. And then we find in verse number 12, the 24th day of the ninth month. So this started by the ninth month, that'll be 10, 11, 12, which is December 4th, 24th of 2015, the second year of Darius, which is 520 BC. The Lord has a question. The Lord has a question to the priest of that time. And the question that was asked is in verse number 12, if one bear only flesh in the skirt of a garment, and with the skirt do touch bread or pottage or wine or oil or any meat, shall it be holy? So the question God is asking to the priest at that time through Haggai is, if there is a piece of meat in that is wrapped up in the cloth, and then if that cloth touches, if that cloth with holy meat, which is sacrificed to the Lord, which becomes holy, and God is saying that if this meat touches something that is like bread or something like that, the question is, will that be holy? And the priest answers, no, it doesn't become holy. The thing is, because holiness is not transmitted from one to another, and that is what the Lord is saying. And the people, the priest, answered it correctly. So if something is holy in the eyes of God, especially when that meat, that piece of meat, is sacrificed to the Lord, it is holy. But if you take that holy meat and touch that to something else like bread or wine or something like that, that holiness will not transmit from the holy meat to something else. So people answered correctly. That was questioned and asked about. And then if you look at verse number 13, it says, then said Haggai, if one that is unclean by a dead body touch any of these, shall it be unclean? So they had something in law that was taught to them, given in the law, that if they touch something like a dead person, and if they touch that dead person, then that person becomes unclean. And so if you have someone that is unclean and that unclean person goes and touches someone else, then the question is, could that person that was touched, will that person be unclean also? So we find that the priest answered correctly and said, yes, if somebody touches a dead body, then that person also becomes unclean. The reason why God had asked this to them was because he answers them in verse 14, then answered Haggai and said, so is this people, and so is this nation before me, said the Lord, and so is every work of their hands, and that which they offer there is unclean. So God is saying the reason why these people are unclean is because they are not obedient to the people, because their priorities were different. They were not careful enough, and they did not obey the Lord. They didn't do the building of the temple of the Lord, because they started the building of the temple in 536 BC, finished that, but only thing that they did was they did only the foundation, but didn't continue to build the temple of God. And that was disobedient on the part of the Israelites. And so we find that God is saying, because you have disobeyed me, because your priorities was more important about your own things, you were building your houses, you were beautifying the things that you cared for and did nothing to my house. And God says, because of that, you are unclean. And then he goes on to say in verse number, let me go to the next one. Verse number 14, and says, now I pray you, consider from this day and forward, from before a stone was laid upon a stone in the temple of God. So God is saying, even before you started building the temple, before you put one stone over the other, what happened? And he says in verse number 16, since those days were when one came to a heap of measure, 20 measure, they were but 10. When the one came to the press pad for to draw 150 vessels out of the press, they were but 20. So what we are seeing is God is saying, because of your disobedience, because you were not because your priorities were different, then I did not care for you. I didn't do the things that I wanted to do because of your disobedience. And he says, you went to draw things, which is that you went to heap up 20 measures of a particular item like food or something like that. And instead of taking 20 measures, all you got was 10 measures, about half of what it was. And then he says, you went to the press fat and you wanted to get these, juice or grape juice or even wine, and you just got less than half. And this is just a picture to show that the picture on the right-hand side, that is how they get the juice out of the grapes, by stamping on it, and then they would collect that juice, and then they would use that juice for them as a drink. But God is saying that God did not allow them to have enough food and drink for themselves. And that's what we see. And then he says, the reason why you didn't have enough food, the reason why you didn't have enough drink, the reason why you didn't have money is because I stopped it from blessing you. The reason is because you were more concerned about your own things. Your priority was more about yourself rather than about my house. Instead of building my house, you were more concerned about your own things. And then he says in verse number 17, I smote you with blasting and with mildew and with hail in the labors of your hands, yet you turned not to me, said the Lord. See, I punished you. I did not provide you with the food, the drink, and the clothing, and the money. That is because you didn't obey me, and you did not even turn to me after all of this. Verse number 18, it says, consider now from this day and upwards, from the 24th day of the 9th month, even after day after the foundation of the Lord, the temple was laid, and consider this. Verse number 17, it says, Is this the seed, yet the barn that is left? As the wine and the fig tree and the olive tree, shall thou consider, thou have laid this to bless thee. So what God is saying in Haggai chapter 2, verse 19, what the Lord has done in our lives is nothing compared to what the Lord did for us through our lives in the future. But because of this, Jesus did not provide the people that they should have rightly have obtained, because it says faithfulness will ultimately bear fruitfulness. See, God says God would have blessed you so much and so much, but God did not do that because of your disobedience. And that's what we see in that area. God was saying that he was more concerned where people will remember. And God is telling them, seek ye first the kingdom of God and everything else, and his righteousness, and everything else will be added unto you. That is food, drinks, conveyance, and everything that you need. God will add that to you if you obey the Lord. You see, we find another verse that the people in the Old Testament knew. It says, if my people, whom I have believed by my name, humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn unto their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven. Then I will hear from heaven and thy forgive their sin and the field, and shall heal their land. So basically what God is saying is, if you forgive and come to the Lord Jesus Christ and ask for repentance, then he will forgive the people and he will heal the land and provide them their needs. And we find that here, we find that this was the prayer, this was the area where Solomon was praying after the dedication of the first temple of God. And God was saying that God will take care of them if they repent of their sins and they come and ask for forgiveness. And so we find that in verse number 19, and we find that God is teaching the people to obey the Lord Jesus Christ, and God will take care of them. just like what we are supposed to follow Jesus and obey the Lord. And God is saying that he will take care of the people. And to conclude here, we find that God has some special word to the governor of Judah, which is Zerubbabel. And he looks at Zerubbabel and said, I will bless you. I care for you. I love you. And I'm going to put you up in a position so high that you will be blessed. In verse number 23, the last verse there, it says, in that day, said the Lord of hosts, will I take thou, O Zerubbabel, my servant, the son of Shealtiel, unto the Lord, and will make thee as a signet, for I have drawn thee, said the Lord of hosts. So what God is saying, that I am going to honor you. Zerubbabel, you are a great man, and you followed me. You obeyed me. You let the people to come and start building the temple of God. And I am going to make you great. And if you look and turn to Matthew chapter 1, we find what God's prophecy happens and come to manifest in Matthew chapter 1. If you look at verse number 12, and it reads, and after they were brought into Babylon, Jeconiah begat Zerubbabel and Zerubbabel begat Zerubbabel, and Zerubbabel begat his other children. And so what we are seeing here is God has risen, God has raised up this man, Zerubbabel, the governor of Judah, in such a way that he made Zerubbabel to be in the line of our Lord Jesus Christ, in the genealogy of Jesus Christ. So what we find here is the people obeyed the Lord in spite of their problems and difficulties earlier. God brought them, stimulated their spirits so that they started building the temple of God. And God respected Zerubbabel for his efforts and bringing the people to the to construct the building of God. So we find that God blesses those people that obey him and follow his statutes and his commands. Let us pray. Our Father, we thank you for this time, and we thank you for the blessings. Thank you for what you have shown towards